Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Common Sense Conversations. Excuse me, I'm a little scratchy tonight. I'm your host, Eric Teamer, along with William Lattimore, and we're here. And yes, I say Common Sense Conversations because this is normally the show that I introduce on a regular basis. But for the past couple of weeks, we've been doing a series called The Black Gunslinger. The Black Gunslingers. Let me make sure I get it right. The Black Gunslingers. So, before we get started with that, one of the things that I want to talk about was the series itself and how it's kind of taken off into and it's becoming its own entity. I guess that's the best way to say it. Black Gunslingers is basically our version of guys getting together, you know, people, two gun nuts. I guess that's the best way to put it. And just talking about what it is that we like about guns, but not just talking about what we like about guns, but also talking about different aspects of training, different ways to, you know, different techniques, different drills, anything that you can think of. We'll also be getting into areas of reviewing. So as we progress, you'll see how this series, The Black Gunslingers, will take off and eventually be its own entity and strong show. So with that being said, I want to welcome everybody to the Black Gunslingers, and we're going to try to get it off with a new intro. Let's see if we can get this intro to work right. All right, William Lattimore. Okay, how you doing, my man? I wanted to see how that would work. I'm doing all right. Can't complain. Man, I know we're both a little exhausted, you know. But I want to just let everyone know if you're interested in being a part of tonight's show, you're welcome to do so. You can do that by calling in. The call-in number is 516-418-5878. Again, that number again is 516-418-5878. Just call in, and if you have any questions, feel free to do so. You can do that by pressing 1, and it will put you in the queue, and we will have a conversation. We'll talk a little bit about guns, and so let the gunslinging begin. Tonight's topic is a little more geared towards our community and some of the things that we've just been witnessing. This is actually dedicated and it's in memory of our sisters and brothers, more so in light of the conversation or the situation that happened with, you know, Breonna Taylor and how the the government, and I should say the judicial system, the attorney general of Louisville, Kentucky, or the state of Kentucky, they basically didn't find any wrongdoing with the police officers, with the exception of one who was charged with the crime. But this is dedicated to those people, from Trayvon Martin to Sandra Bland to Breonna Taylor, those people who have been caught up in a system or been unfairly, justice has been unfairly served, and especially when it comes to the Black community. And we can get a little deeper into that and talk about it, but I just wanted to start the show out tonight with that because we need to be talking about this and how it relates to what we talk about on a regular basis. You know, the gun community, the guns, gun instructors, gun clubs, just the black community in general. So with that, like I said, we're dedicating this 90 minutes to those individuals who need to have a voice. So we'll just start it out with that. And I'm going to open the floor up to you, Will, and let you start it out, and we can go from there.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah. So how's everybody doing tonight? Y'all should already know me by now. I am William Lattimore, one half of the Black Gunslingers. If I sound out of breath, it's because I'm moving. But
I got you.
We got to jump right into it. So I want to start off by saying I am angry and upset, but not surprised by the grand jury verdict. So we'll just start off right there. We'll jump right into it. How about yourself, Eric?
Well, yeah, I am. I'm angry, and we talked about this earlier in the week, and I've had other conversations outside of this, and I had someone ask me, you know, how did I feel about it? And I was brutally honest with it, and I told, you know, gave them my truth. My truth is basically I wasn't surprised. And the reason why I said I wasn't surprised was because this isn't a new story in the black community. This is an old story. This is a relationship between police and the black community, and how the police have been used to be, you know, a tool of harassment, terrorists in certain situations. And by all means, this is not to say that all police are this way, but it is a historical relationship. We've had this relationship with the police. And it's just been ongoing. If you look at, you know, again, the reasons why groups like Black Panthers were started, because of the fact that they noticed that the injustices in their community were predominantly by police officers, I should say, in situations where Black people were killed, they were shot in the armpits, and people were studying the autopsies and were realizing they were getting shot and killed because they had their hands up and they were getting shot. You know, either shot while having their hands up or shot in the back. The other part to that was you knew it was coming because when they decided, I believe it was Chicago. It was Chicago and or Illinois, not Illinois, but Kentucky, Louisville, where they decided that they were canceling all vacation time and police officers had to be on duty. So I knew you weren't going to prepare for a guilty verdict by getting police, you know, preparing for a riot. So I wasn't surprised. It bothers me, but we've seen it in the year of 2020 when everyone's stuck at home and due to pandemic and we're trying to get back on our feet. We've constantly seen these things repeated over and over and over again. And it's, you know, at the hands of the police. So it's exhausting. And to give people a kind of background, and I'm gonna let Will work while I'm talking, so that way he won't have to stop what he's doing. But to give you a history of what we're talking about when we talk about the history of police and their involvement in the black community, you have to keep in mind that at some point, a lot of times we can trace back the history or the origins of organized law enforcement back to the slave patrols, the bounty hunters, and those who caught slaves and returned the slave fugitive. Then going forward, police were used as a tool to keep the black community in check, to make sure that blacks follow the law, and make sure that blacks, you know, if they got out of hand, make sure that they stay, you know, put them back in check. I guess that's the best way to put it. you see the laws. We've talked about the laws that were created in these states. And even one that I think about, and if you watch shows like one of the new shows, Lovecraft Country, they had an episode where the main characters were trying to get out of a sundown town, and actually the sheriff or the police officer told them it was a sundown county. So they were racing to get past to the county line to get out of that town because that's an actual thing where the police basically in a white community said, we don't want you to be in this town when the sun sets. And I've seen signs in museums, don't let the sun set on your nigger ass, where you could not be in that town for that period of time. You could only daylight, but after dark, you should not be in there. And there are actually some towns that are still considered sundown towns. I invite people to look it up, but our history with the police have always been, it's always been a tumultuous relationship. It's never been a strong, back and forth reciprocal situation. You see this throughout the United States where police officers have, you've seen even going back to thinking about Rodney King. Had it not been for the gentleman who videotaped that, we would have never seen the police officers who beat him in the middle of the street for a traffic violation. You think about Sandra Bland, who was pulled over and yanked out of a car for, I think, was it either not signaling or something to that effect, but basically not following the police officer's command or whatever, because she refused to step out of the car and she ended up dying in jail. So as we go into the night, one of the things that I did want to talk about is making sure that we understand the laws of the places that we, whether you're traveling or whether you're in your own home state, because this is one of the things that we have to deal with, is the idea that when situations like this occur, they take them through the process, either because it gets so much attention, they convene a special grand jury, or it garners the weight of a grand jury, but you don't know what's taking place. You don't know what laws are being, being looked at and so on and so forth. So you have all of these things to consider when you're putting that in the proper perspective, when that becomes, part of the case. So I do want to make sure that we fully understand these things and that it is exhausting for people, black people in a black community. And this is where we get to riots. And aside from the rhetoric that's been used about rioting, now when they talk about, oh, they're burning and they're looting, if they didn't do that, it would be okay. But you have to keep in mind, most situations historically, our riots were a culmination of just being sick and tired of being sick and tired. So it built up to that whole idea of, we've been doing this, we've been abiding by the law, we've been doing what we were asked to do, but yet this is what happens to our people. And it's been happening over and repeatedly, over and over again, over and over again. George Floyd was the catalyst this time around, and it sparked this whole nationwide, actually a worldwide movement, where people saw what was going on. It was recorded. We watched a man die for what was considered for a bad check, or what was later found out not to even be a bad check or counterfeit money. So we deal with all of those things, and we deal with a lot of a lot of inconsistent information. I want to use no. Let me back up. Not even inconsistent information. Misinformation. Misinformation by people who don't know, who don't have the facts, and go on and so forth. So again, shows like this are dedicated to people like Breonna Taylor, who you look at the elements of the law and not necessarily the conjecture. I've heard people talk about she was a drug dealer, she was this, and in the night that she was murdered, she was at home in the bed, regardless of what you believe she was, regardless of what other people said. And this is what I don't understand, is that we live in a society where we demonize the victim, and it's okay to demonize the victim, where it's okay to say this person was laying in their bed in their home. And what I don't understand from a gun community perspective, I've seen people who stood up and said, this is my home, I'll protect it. They even teach you courses in personal protection. I'm an instructor for personal protection within the home. So you talk about the fact that this is your home, you have the right to protect it according to certain laws. If your state says we abide by the Castle Doctrine, you have the right to protect your home. If you have the right to stand your ground, you have the right to protect your home. So if a police officer enters your home with a no-knock warrant and you have no idea who it was, and you begin the process of protecting your home, it becomes a back and forth. You can argue about her misdeeds prior to all of this, who she associated with prior to all of this. It's irrelevant because at the time she was in bed. She wasn't in the commission of a crime. The elements of the case state that she was actually, the police were at the wrong address, serving a warrant for someone who was actually at the home at another home. But again, my feeling to this is we are exhausted by dealing with this. Why do the police get to play judge, jury, and executioner? Because the examples by comparison, you have situations where people like Breonna Taylor, I can't remember her last name, but I know her first name was Atiana, the woman who was in her home and the police shot from, who were walking around, didn't announce themselves, shot into the home and killed her. We're dealing with that. We're dealing with judge, jury, and execution, whereas versus you have individuals who will, you know, a white individual who may be holed up in a home can fire on police and still manage to be taken alive. So,
yeah.
And hold on. I'm looking at someone in the Target, and I'm sorry, not in the Target, but in the chat room, and they're posting. And my thing is, I get in. I don't know if you can see the chat room, Will, but my thing is, one of the comments
it.
Is, do bad things and it comes back to you. But, you know, like I said, when you stand up for something and you, yeah, and that's my thing. And the other thing is, and the first thing they teach you is to identify your target before you shoot. Again, my thing is that you need to know the law before you say that. You can jump in because I'm looking at, like I said, a lot of times people say things and they can, like the person saying, they reject the fact that they said it was in the bed. But the fact of the matter is that was the elements of the law. You can reject it all you want to, but the elements of the law, my thing is pick up the what happened, get the facts, and then come at me with the facts. Don't come at me with what you think should have happened or what you believe. But go ahead, Will. I'm going to shut it down right now and let you do it.
Right. So the comment was, do bad things and bad things happen to you?
The comment was, do bad things and it comes back on you. Yeah. So explain to me, like,
okay,
people like Breonna Taylor
sure.
and Ahmaud Arbery. Yeah, Ahmaud Arbery was doing a bad thing at the same time. Trayvon Martin was doing a bad thing. And Tamir Rice. And I'm just throwing out some names. These are people who were killed, unarmed individuals. But let's have this conversation.
Right, right. So I want to jump in here with the do bad things and bad things happen to you. Tatiana Jefferson was home playing video games with her nephew. What bad thing was she doing? When people
not
make these comments,
kid.
They're speaking of a place of ignorance. And I'm sorry if you want to get mad at me, but it's a place of ignorance. It doesn't matter what Taylor did in her past. We all have a past that we aren't proud of. A lot of us have a past that we aren't proud of. But that doesn't mean someone deserves to die because of their past. Do bad things and bad things happen to you. So a lot of times people who say that identify as Christian, right? So what if Jesus Christ, if that's what you believe in, didn't die for our sins? What if he said do bad things and, all right, that's a death sentence. But that's another topic for another time. Trayvon Martin wasn't doing anything wrong, but walking home. And people will say,
mm-hmm.
well, he attacked George Zimmerman had marks on him. What would you do if you were in a position where you were walking home and someone started harassing you and following you? Would you not defend yourself? I mean, I would, but this whole I would love for this person to jump on the call.
Well, they're welcome to do so. Like I said, call in number 516.
If you're still listening, please jump on this call.
516-418-5878 is the call-in number, and just press 1 when you get an opportunity. 516-418-5878. And I see the comment that you said, they got us divided. No, in this situation, you're the divisive person because it's not, again, look at the letter of the law. Look at the circumstances. It's not about, oh, the media got us doing this. My thing is, it's in this day and age, in the day and age of media, all you have to do, you can look at court documents. You can look at certain elements of certain things. You can look it up for yourself and to study the elements of the law. It's not about, well, the media or CNN, Fox, MSNBC, whatever news station you listen to. You are a I'm going to assume that most people who listen to news, who hear things, even if you listen to a left or right or centered show, whichever way you lean, what bothers me is the fact that we are all in this mindset of we have to believe what they say because what they say is true, as opposed to being an educated person who can go on and do the research on their own. That's what bothers me. That's what gets me. And like you said, let's go back, because I remember when Trayvon Martin was killed. And I was on this radio show, and I was talking about Trayvon Martin. And for a pack of Skittles and an Arizona iced tea, he lost his life because somebody didn't like the way he looked, who wasn't a police officer. He lost his life. Tamir Rice, who was in an open carry state playing with a toy gun outside his home, was gunned down. The police pulled up and literally shot him dead without really – making sure that they can do it. So we talk about identifying yourself. Again, same situation. Oscar Grant, who was in handcuffs.
Ooh,
go ahead.
Exactly. Sorry.
It's okay.
I can give you one better. The most recent case with the 13-year-old boy whose mom called because he was having an episode, and he's autistic, and the cops shot him how many times? I don't even remember.
Oh.
But
yeah,
it was about 8 times maybe. So when people make this comment, do bad things happen to you. What was he doing bad? Being a child with autism? You know, you can't. I don't know. I need to just relax because maybe I'm misinterpreting what they said. But it's like, what is this whole do bad things or bad things happen? Like, okay, if I make an illegal U-turn, am I supposed to die? And I get it. You know, people will say, oh, well, maybe they should just comply. Comply and don't die. Right? Is that the new thing now? Comply and don't die.
Yeah. That's,
maybe that's,
well, that's
it.
No, because that's the argument. And that's the argument that's being made among a lot of people. Because, if you just follow the law and you follow the commands of the police officer, then you don't have that. You don't have anything to worry about. However, people don't fully understand. There are certain commands that a law officer can give that you don't have to comply with if you know it's unjust. Just like prime example, when they pulled a lawyer over, they didn't know she was a lawyer. They pulled this woman over dead at night, got out of the car. They start talking to her, like, you know, the standard questions. Do you know why we pulled you over? Da, 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 da. She never answered them. She refused to speak. They arrested her. What did they do when they arrested her? They read her rights. What's the first right? You have the right to remain what? Silent. Now, at some point, it doesn't register to us that what they're saying. And I've watched, watched lectures where a lawyer was talking about your rights. When they read you your rights, You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be held against you in a court of law. And he gave a breakdown of what that meant, that if you talk, they're not going to use that evidence, that information to exonerate you. They will find a way to use it to convict you. That's why lawyers will tell you, do not talk to the police. You have the right to remain silent. And most lawyers will tell you, do not say anything until I get there, if you have an attorney. But my problem is that we are looking at the law, and whether you're black or white, and I've seen people do it, because heaven forbid, I've seen the comments about from Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal, and that in itself is mind-boggling to me. But when you start siding with what's wrong with the process, I can't even argue. And my thing is this: even if a person was in the commission of a crime, if they were doing no more than living, because I hear again, just like at the thing, I can read your comment, my friend, I don't know who you are, but they said you heard the boyfriend shot through the door at the police, and you also said she wasn't in the bed. But if you're in your home, you still have a right to defend your home. And why would he, you know, my question would be, why would he randomly shoot through the door if they knocked on the door and announced themselves? But my thing also is, that comment doesn't, what you heard doesn't jive with what actually happened, because what actually happened was he defended himself within the home. The police were in the home. He shot one of the police officers in the leg. And when they arrested him and they were about to charge him, they couldn't charge him because of the fact that he was in the home. They issued a no-knock warrant and did not identify themselves. So, I mean, we need to be – it's not that they have us divided. We choose to play on – we choose to be ignorant. And, again, I'll finish that real quick. This is – if you put in a comment, you choose to identify – you know, identify your target. That's not, no instructor tells you identify your target. Know your target and what's beyond it. And that's the only rule that he didn't break. He knew what his target was. It was somebody breaking into his home. So, yeah, you're right. So you can identify your target. You don't, if you're trying to say you need to announce, not necessarily. That you're identifying your home. So you can get the body cam. And you can see the truth, but the fact of the matter is he's already gone to trial. He's already been exonerated for that because of the evidence that was presented. So that's a moot point. So go ahead, Will. Go ahead.
So go ahead. Eric, read the comment again. He said that the person shot through the door. The boyfriend shot through the door.
I'm going to use a legal term. I am not a lawyer, but I, you know, but the fact of the matter is, this is what we call considered to be hearsay. I heard the boyfriend fired through the door at the police.
Okay. I'll jump on that one right now. If he fired through the door at the cops, he would be in the wrong. That's illegal. He would have been tried and convicted. Actually, I don't even know if he had a trial because they found he was not in the wrong. So
yeah, it didn't make
if
it that
he shot through the door, if he did what you heard, he would be in jail right now. So that's not factual at all. And to your point about they weren't in the bed. Okay, let me ask you this. If someone starts banging on your door, are you not going to get up? So you may be right about the fact that she wasn't in the bed. They were in the hallway. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they were in the hallway, if they were in the kitchen, if they were in the living room, in the bedroom. Somebody was breaking into their home in their mind, right? So as a legal gun owner, he had every right to defend himself. See, and this is what pisses me off with people, this whole double standard when it comes to the Second Amendment. Why is it that the black man did something wrong when he chose to legally do what's in his right? Please jump on the call. What was the next comment, Eric?
in all honesty, my thing is this. One, I am at a point, you know, we talked about being exhausted. I'm at a point where I no longer feel the need to sit back and continuously explain the history of police interaction with black people in the black community. They don't want to believe. If you don't believe,
today.
You know, yeah. If you don't believe it, then that's fine. My point is this. I don't care if you don't believe me. What I care about is that you do your due diligence and find out for yourself, because you're sitting here saying, accusing two people who actually read and understand, not just media coverage, but actually look at actual information, and you're saying, I don't believe. Well, no, do your own due diligence. At that point, it's a wrap. Our conversation is no longer needed, because it shows that you're listening to one side of the same media snake and getting your information, but you want to argue that. And we can, and like I said, I am of the mindset that I'm tired of people demonizing black people for doing nothing. They get killed by the police, and the first thing that is done is you demonize that person. And then you go backwards and you, oh, well, they committed this crime. She was this. He was that. Look at what they did when they were 5 years old and they were a toddler and they spilled juice in the grocery store. That was considered a crime and so on. I mean, you got to go backwards to find these things. And the thing about it is, someone like Breonna Taylor, and again, you can't put them in the same boat that is what, like Shaq said, or you can't lump them in with George Floyd. But they want to make George Floyd a criminal for something that wasn't even an actual thing, even if it was a bad check. You kneeled on a man's neck and choked him to death by leaning on his neck and cutting off his oxygen. You shot Oscar Grant in the back with a gun with his hands behind his back. Atiana Jefferson was in the home. If you're going to, my thing is, if you're going to do that, be that kind of person, then be that kind of person. If you're going to support a system that looks at certain members of its community as not human, then okay, say that you're that person and be done with it. But I would rather move on and talk about stuff like again, situational awareness. This ties into what we've been talking about. Being aware of what's going on. Again, know the states and that you have the right to protect yourself in the home. The Castle Doctrine is what we talk about, and you'll hear some instructors, depending on the course, some instructors will talk about Castle Doctrine and how it applies to, you know, you and how it applies to your situation. Again, you have, like, Kentucky is a stand your ground state. That means you don't have a legal ground to – you don't have to retreat. You can stand your ground. You can stand and defend yourself regardless of what you say. And my thing is, again, know your laws. Know your state laws. Know what you're talking about before you jump on and just automatically assume that the people that you're entering a conversation with are completely ignorant of what you're saying. Don't assume that because you watched a certain media outlet and they gave you certain things that – you're dealing with people who just sit back and follow media outlet and information. That's the incorrect thing. But again, I'm going to stick with this conversation, but I'll stick with, you know, also tying it into what we're talking about. We're talking about, again, situational awareness. And it's a funny thing. You have to have situational awareness within your black neighborhood, because just like the woman who just had an encounter with the white woman who threw a glass bottle at her back and she was jogging, there was no interaction prior to that. Woman came from around the corner, threw a glass bottle at the black woman. Don't know what happened with Ahmaud Arbery. I just know that a video camera showed him running, and he was jogging. There was two men in front of him, a man trailing him in a car, blocked off the road, presented a firearm, and they shot and killed him. Now, it's already been said in that they, you know, they're still going through the legal process. But again, we can demonize this. We can argue the fact that, hey, he was on the property and the guy called the police because he was on the property and he was believed to be a burglar. but video footage that was presented by the homeowner shows several different people on the property. And Ahmaud Arbery had already been on the property several times. He was looking, he looked, it showed that he never stole anything. But again, judge, jury, and executioner. You have issues with people like Alton Sterling. And again, it's easier to demonize the victim if you can just justify it. And this isn't something new. This is something old. Emmett Till. Let me go back a step further. Emmett Till, who would be in his 70s, killed for whistling at a white woman, and then she lied about him saying some inappropriate things. Men came to his grandfather's house. Yeah. Came to the home, and she admitted on her deathbed that she lied. But a young man was beaten to death, and he was literally almost irrecognizable by his own mother. So, you know, but again, I'm sorry. I'm not going to look at the chat room anymore.
I'm telling you.
So, because now we're getting into the whole, but again, you missed the point about me talking about the relationship between blacks and the police and the history. Again, I invite people to look this information up. This is not something that's just pure conjecture, like it's just something that, look up the history between police and black people throughout history, and you will see a tumultuous relationship between blacks and the police. And that's not to say, again, let me say it again. This is not to say that all police are bad. This is not to say that all police have the same mindset. There are good police out there. Now, the other side to that is you have police officers who see what's being done, who know it's wrong, who do good things for themselves, but they see wrongdoing by other police officers, and they let it happen. In my opinion, you're just as complicit as they are. So, yeah, it's easy to get upset and get riled up. But, yeah, I'm going to move on, and I'm going to let you have the floor on that one. Because it's easy to fall into a trap of going back and forth over something that, you know, find your facts. That's all I can say is find your facts. You got facts that present otherwise, and you want to present them, we'll open the floor for you to call in and present your facts. Do it. But if you don't, then okay, we'll press on. So,
let's move off from that, because we're 40 minutes in.
I've given my time to people like that for a number of years. And it keeps us distracted from the bigger issue. And right now, if we can do this, like I said, I'll dedicate we dedicate this show to the Breonna Taylor, Sandra Bland, all of the young men and women who've lost their lives to this type of injustice. So, you know, again, I talk about situational awareness, being aware of what's going on around you, what's going on around in your home, as well as within your community, that things that take place, because we need to be more aware of the interactions we have with other people. And it's not just to say, be more aware of black versus white crime. No, just be aware of what's going on around you. That's something that's actually taught by firearm instructors. And let me say it that way. Situational awareness, knowing what before a crime occurs, most times the person that commits the crime is watching you, and they're looking for someone who's not paying attention to their surroundings. So, yeah. you got any other things you want to add to that?
Nah, man, nah. We can move on from that.
Okay. So, but then I'm going to say, if you do have the opportunity, and again, individuals who do carry a gun, because again, the question that was, and I'm going to go back to Ahmaud Arbery, who was running. A lot of people in that situation versus the young woman who was just harassed and assaulted with a glass bottle who was hit, she actually was carrying. I don't know if you were aware of that, but she said she was carrying. She had She had some gears to fight someone off, like almost like brass knuckles. She also carried a knife and a firearm. Yeah.
Go ahead. If I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. Yeah, the lady who posted that is an actual firearms owner. So she did like a satire parody thing. So she took the actual news interview, and she put herself in it. And yeah, because when it came on, I'm like, man, I recognize this lady. No, she took the news interview, put herself on it. Because if you listen to it, she was like, yeah, she got her ass beat. Something like that. Yeah, it was a parody thing. But,
yeah, okay. All right. Then I apologize because I was wrong, because I saw the newscast and I thought it was the actual article. And I was like, gee. And she got very graphic about it. And I tried to look up the name and all the information. But I do know that it was an actual event that took place. She just took the clip and hijacked it to promote herself.
Yeah. Okay. She was promoting her gear. Her self-defense gear, but it was funny. But no, it's an actual situation that happened. It actually happened. When I saw the clip, I'm like, how would that have gone down if the actual lady was defending herself or had a firearm? And like I always say, a firearm is not the end-all be-all, but I call it a little equalizer. Because you never know when you can find yourself in situations like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I get that. In situations where you are the person who is your firearm owner and you find yourself in certain situations, my advice to you as an instructor, get more training. Don't just take the basic pistol course. Don't just take the concealed carry course that you paid for so you can carry your firearm. Take other courses so that you'll know, you know, there are plenty of courses that talk about things that primarily the law, that will go into the law and talk about the law, especially within your state. If that's not part of the requirement, most states require that you are aware of the concealed carry laws within your state, but find one that talks about the law, talks about the elements of drawing your firearm and using your firearm, because it's not just something that you can do because you feel threatened because somebody looks suspicious enough to pull your firearm. There have to be elements that are present within that thing, within the idea of getting yourself properly trained. I would also suggest you go out on the range on a regular basis, become familiar with your firearm, go out and make yourself available or sign up for trainings, even if they're, you know, they're short trainings. Most trainings are, 8 hours long? But if a good instructor will give you a wealth of information, but you also need to know that wealth of information often is just the iceberg, and there are other trainings that you can do. You can learn how to shoot under duress as far as what we call force on force, learning how to properly handle yourself in situations like that. But the main thing that a good firearm instructor will tell you is that your first and primary weapon is your mind, and that you have a mouth, use it, learn how to defuse situations. Your gun is your last resort, because we also encourage you to find a way out of it. If there's just like we talk about being in a restaurant, and you, even though you have a carry on, a concealed firearm, you're looking at exits. You're looking for exits. Why are you looking for exits? Because you want to find the easiest and the quickest way out. You want to be able to assess the entire room without anything happening and you being caught off guard. So if we're teaching you how to exit a situation, not to stand and try to fight the situation, because people don't realize the ramifications of what happens when you fire a firearm. And like we said, and like people don't fully understand, you will be investigated. You may stand stand a reason that you are arrested. So just be aware. But by all means, get training beyond the basics. So yeah. that's my my advice in that, because I feel like our community is at a point where you see a spike in purchases of firearms. And my encouragement to people that come to my course, don't let this be the only training that you receive. Take the opportunity to get better, to be more familiar with your firearm. Take the opportunity to learn to be a better shooter, but also take the time to be more familiar with the whole process, as far as, again, knowing the laws and being aware of the legal ramifications that could occur if you are caught in that situation. So that's my what I'm offering for anyone who's listening who's a firearm owner and possibly a concealed carry. And if you're not a concealed carry person, get your training. You don't necessarily, if you choose not to carry, but get trained. Learn how to defend yourself and learn the laws that protect you in your home. Know what the elements are. So that's where I am, Will. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I agree. I had to step out for a second and take a breath, because you know.
I understand. We just in that, as much as I would like to say, this is a new phenomenon, it's not. As you can look at old documentaries, you can look at old clips, and you can listen to people who demonize the victim. Or I watched a video about an organization that was created in the state of Mississippi, and I can't remember the name of it. It slips my mind right now. I have to look it up. But they basically had this, the government of Mississippi basically had an organization that monitored black people. And if you, especially if you were organizing people to vote, if you were outspoken about civil rights, they considered those people to be agitators. And one of the things that I don't forget, I didn't forget what they said that stood out to me was one of the members of, I think he was a mayor of a town. He basically was saying, I don't understand why these northern niggas come down here and aggravate our southern niggas, because our southern niggas are good. We don't have no problems until these northern niggas come down here and agitate them and get them riled up. And that's the mentality that you have. And that's basically what you're seeing here in this day and age. It's the same mentality. The problem that you have is you have someone who's in charge who considers himself to be a leader who's given these individuals the freeway, the lane to be outspoken about it again. And that's man, one of the issues that concerns me the most, is that people, in this day and age, all we're doing is repeating history, and we don't even see
correct.
That. We're continuously seeing the thing. The only difference is black people are starting to be more proactive. I hear people say all the time, "I'm not my ancestors," and I want to stop them and be like, "Whoa, wait a minute! Your ancestors fought too. Don't be fooled into thinking that because they were in servitude, the idea of rebellion in the United States, actually any country that held slaves had to deal with the idea of rebellion, slave revolts. Why, that was one of the number one fears of slave owners, was the slave revolt, which is
right.
why they had
it
so
always,
many ways to suppress it.
Yeah, it always bothers me when people say, "I'm not my ancestors," or "I'm not my grandparents." I get the sentiment behind it. I totally do. I get the sentiment behind it. But it bothers me when people say that, because it's like, are you calling our grandparents punk? Are you calling our grandparents soft? You know what I mean? What's the reasoning behind it? Because, and so someone explained it to me. Someone was like, they're not saying that our grandparents were soft, but what they're saying is we ain't going to turn the other cheek. And I'm like, don't get it twisted. Our grandparents really didn't turn the other cheek. Because if you think about it, right, people always say, "Oh, we need more Malcolms and less Martins."
Mm-hmm.
Martin Luther King wasn't a punk. He wasn't a soft individual,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Anybody who had the balls and the courage to march when they were getting German Shepherds sicked on them, beaten with billy clubs, having water hoses sprayed on them. They still got up and said, no more. Like, we want change.
Yeah.
So, to me, that's not a person that's a punk at all. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
You can't sit there and say, you can't disrespect someone like that because he didn't do it. He didn't do it the way you felt like he should. But he did it his way. And
mm-hmm.
the thing people don't realize about Martin Luther King was Martin Luther King was a firearms owner, but that's neither here nor there. We won't even get into that. But
go ahead.
He wasn't a soft individual, man. Like, if you would have told me, if you tell me Martin Luther King was soft, I'm gonna say that's bullshit. Pardon my language, but
mm-hmm.
anybody who can, and I get it, right? People spitting on you, people throwing shit at you, you're going to want to fight. But
yeah.
to be able to take that and still keep on and not get discouraged, you know what I mean? And towards the end of his life, he said, you know, I feel like we've integrated into a burning house. But
yeah.
even at the same time, Martin was necessary, Malcolm was necessary. To think that
mm-hmm.
one is over the other or one is less than the other or we need more of this and less of this, to me, that's, I don't want to say ignorant, but it's not looking at it from, it's not looking at the whole picture, the whole aspect of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's just me.
Yeah. And I get you. And, you know, you said you wouldn't go in on Malcolm, but I'll go in and just, you know, in on it and touch on it. One of the things that we all need to be aware of, like William said, he carried a firearm. He actually applied for a concealed carry permit, and he was denied, or he was applied for a permit in a certain state, and he was denied. But you also have to understand at that time, because a lot of people are using that to try to get people, you know, especially, you know, as black people start to arm themselves and we're starting to resist, you know, what's going on. Well, you need to be more like Martin Luther King. And it's the idea that, you know, they throw that around. And there are two points that need to be made. One, it's the idea that we are Martin Luther King was, in a sense, he was looked upon as a communist, and he wasn't always supported by his own people. Despite what we believe him to be or believe it to be, it's the idea that we want to make it seem like he was just this passive person. And understanding that as towards the end of both their lives, Malcolm and Martin, they were both coming to a center point. Malcolm was coming to the realization that it wasn't a black issue or a white issue. It was a human rights issue and that it needed to be taken before the United Nations, whereas Martin started, like you said, Martin began to see that it was a fact that he believed that the idea of integration was leading his people into a burning building. And it was possibly a mistake because he saw that no matter what you did, it was never good enough. And a lot of people believe he died for civil rights. Martin had already seen the passage of the civil rights legislation. He actually died during the Poor Man's Campaign, where he was working with other people, black, white, brown, regardless of color, to talk about the wealth disparity within our country and how the wealth disparity within our country was keeping us from fully understanding who we are as citizens within the country. So, yeah, this doesn't necessarily tie into being black gunslingers, but we're going to take a break from that right now. And we're going to get it. I try to keep it relevant. But the fact of the matter is, we've not seen anything new in 2020. We've seen everything pretty much stay the same in 2020 that it's been going on for years. It's just been going on, and it hasn't gotten as much steam. Or it's been, and this is where I get into people and groups that co-opt or inject themselves into movements. You see people that jump in and, you know, and say, well, we're this organization or I'm this person. We need to take, matters into our situation, and they have this whole spiel about what the black community needs to do in order to address these issues, as opposed to saying, hey, you know, we're not checking them. We're not finding out who these people are and why they're so adamant about leading us down a certain path that's either not relevant or is just a distraction. And again, I guess that's easy to say not relevant as well. But we need to be mindful of organizations like that, being mindful of people who are like that, who jump in and co-opt. You have organizations now, we're talking about groups that are now calling themselves, and you and I have had conversation about this, the New Black Panthers. And it bothers me because you missed the whole essence of groups like that, what the Black Panthers stood for. You missed the whole essence of what people were trying to accomplish by doing that. They weren't necessarily looking to be a militant group, and it's not to say that we don't need that. We do need the representation of arms to protect our community, because I fully believe that, like other communities, we need to learn how to protect ourselves and protect our community, because that's a valuable investment within our community that we need to deal with. So I just don't. Go ahead.
Hold on one second.
So yeah.
I don't.
Is that
my feelings. I love the Black Panthers. My people don't know this. My dad was a Black Panther, but he never actually legitimately called himself a Black Panther because, you know, at the time, calling yourself a Black Panther was either a death sentence or jail time.
So, yeah.
So my dad was a Black Panther. But when you have groups calling themselves saying, we're the New Black Panthers, how you just go to call yourself that? Like, what are you doing? Are you doing the community outreach? Because what the Panthers did was they showed the community that they didn't need to depend on the government. They didn't need to depend on the government. They needed to do for self. So the Black Panthers started the free breakfast program, you know, the what we know as the WIC program. They started that. So when you call yourself the New Black Panthers, because you wear black and carry a gun, that means nothing. In the grand scheme of things, that means nothing. Like, what, man, I can't say too much. But, and don't get it twisted. I support anyone's right to the Second Amendment. Don't get it twisted, right? Because I know someone's listening like, oh, what's he saying? No, don't get it twisted. I don't care whether you're black, yellow, brown, pink, blue, purple. I support your right to the Second Amendment. But that doesn't mean just because you're black, I have to jump on the bandwagon with you. You know what I mean? So don't get it twisted. Because people will misconstrue what we're saying and be like, oh, those guys don't want everybody to have guns, or not, let me not say everybody, but those guys are this, that, and the third. No, please don't get it twisted. my thing is this, we have to stop looking for the next Black Panthers. We have to stop looking for the next Huey Newton, the next Bobby Steele, the next Eldridge Cleaver, the next Deacons of Defense, the next Robert Williams. We got to stop looking for these people and be ourselves. Do it for ourselves. And I think that's the issue. Black people as a whole, as a collective, I'll say black people as a collective, right? And this is not a knock on anybody. But a lot of us are looking for help. You know what I mean? We're looking for the answers when we have the answers. We literally have the answers. man, I'm getting tongue tied. I'm getting into it. Like if Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale could start the Black Panthers, they didn't wait. They didn't wait for someone to give them the okay, right? They didn't wait for that.
Mm-hmm.
They did it. We don't need to wait.
Yeah.
We have the resources. And I'm sounding like the $6 million man? We have the resources or something. Mm-hmm. That I'm showing my hand.
Yeah.
But we have the technology, right? But we can do it. Like, we can do it. We have groups. We the thing is, we've been so conditioned to be against each other, we can't be together. We've been so conditioned to fight against each other. It was a quote. I think it was by Malcolm X, and I could be wrong, but I saw it today. It was like, they'll pay a black person to kill a black person just to say a black person was killed by a black person. And when I read that, I'm like, holy shit. I never mm-hmm. thought about it that way. I never thought about it that way. It's like, that makes a lot of freaking sense, man. But back to my point. We don't have to wait for the next anyone. We can do it ourselves. Eric, I'll turn it over to you for a second.
Okay. Yeah, and I'll just piggyback off of what you said and the idea that we don't need to look for the next Malcolm or Martin. And that's not a slap on what or any of them. It's the idea that those people were called to action because they saw the injustices that were taking place and they used their platform to speak up. But a lot of people, for instance, like Fannie Lou Hamer of Mississippi, who said, I'm tired of being, you know, the famous quote, I'm tired of being sick and tired. Her platform came after being beaten. You need to be able to understand what's going on. Don't allow people to convince you to say that this person was doing. Martin Luther King was a young minister who stepped up and had something to say and was put in front of the face of the movement. It doesn't mean that you can't step up and do something for yourself. And when I say something to that effect, what I'm saying is go to the look at the history and understand that you go into your community and you see what the needs of your community are and you start addressing the needs of your community. And because this is a gun show, you know, we talk about being armed. And for people like me and Will who want to train and work in our community, that's what we do. That's our service to the community. It just so happens that we decided to take a platform and address certain things and talk about the importance of getting trained, talk about firearms and what it means to own a firearm, the responsibilities that come along with it, but also learning about, you know, learning different things about firearms, getting reviews on firearms. So you'll know what ones are, you know, worth the purchase. If we say it's a $700 purchase and we're saying it's worth it, you may want to look into it depending on how much you want to spend. If it's a $300, $200, regardless of the cost of the firearm, being aware of that and being aware of that and having the responsibility of it is something that we need to have within our community. And like I said, being aware of the needs of our community. We're talking about that and dealing with that. Like I said, knowing it. Excuse me. Within the firearm community, we have organizations like Refuse to Be a Victim, where they talk about things and, again, situational awareness and how you can be, you know, take part in that. Find some of these organizations that teach these courses. Women, there are programs that are called Damsel in Distress. You can easily find one of those and be a part of those. A lot of these instructors are out here promoting these things. And depending on where you live, you can easily take part in those type programs. One of the things that I also want to talk about as far as being in service to your community is creating emergency safety teams, learning how to police yourselves in your community. There's a lot of pushback. You know, I hear all the time they talk about the, to me and from my reading and my research on what it sounds like to defunding the police, it's a nice catchy term. And you hear people saying defund the police with the idea of taking money and closing police down. What it really means is taking funds and putting, not necessarily taking them from the actual police, but putting funds that were allocated to police in certain areas, but reallocating them into community organizations. However, what I'm saying also is people who have the idea of shutting police down. No, again, I'll always say this. Not all police are bad. We need to be able to, what we need to be doing is finding ways to get them proper training to make sure that they're involved in the community and have some interaction with the community. But it also means on our side, being aware of our community needs. We need to be able to put together organizations that interact with the community and can speak on the community's behalf and interact with organizations like the police, like the government, so that we have a voice in it, so that we know who we're putting in office to represent us, so we know who we have in office to speak up for us, regardless of that, regardless of the situation. So let's be more aware of that. Let's be aware of the fact that you had people within throughout our history who stood up and made it known. And that's to say, and I say all of that to say, it's your opportunity to be that person. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to stand in front of a camera. You have to stand and take an interview on the news, and it may come to that. But the fact of the matter is, what you can do is be community aware, be able to address the needs in your community, and start encouraging people to be take part in caring for your own community. It shouldn't be that a person is gunned down in the streets by the police and all of this misinformation flies out and all of these, you know, whether it's misinformation or whether it's past history. Your past history does not convict you unless you have what they call prior incidents that have been that have put you in jail before, that you're held before. But again, prior issues don't necessarily equate to circumstances that will lead to your death in the street. They have no, you can't use them if they're not relevant in court. How do they get to be tried? You get to be persecuted in the media. That's something that I'm confused about. And like I said, ignorance of the law on both sides is a scary thing. To espouse or to put out information and say, you saw this, you heard this, you don't believe this, research it for yourself. It's just that simple. But again, we need to be more aware. And again, dealing with firearms, be aware of the consequences of what happens. Take the time to research that. Know what's going on within your community. Be one of the individuals who's willing. There are organizations, there are gun clubs that actually patrol their community with their firearm. They understand the law. They understand what they can and can't do. They're providing services. They're making sure that abandoned buildings aren't being occupied by homeless people, that criminal activities aren't taking place in these abandoned spaces. They patrol the neighborhood, make sure people are safe, make sure people have the things that they need. But yet we're spending a lot of our time trying to bash people for who they were or who we want them to have been. We want to demonize people in a certain way. And it's a disheartening thing because it lets me know just how far we've come and how far we have yet to go. I honestly believe we are digressing because I can look at what took place almost immediately after slavery with the advancement of black people entering politics, reunifying families, building communities, and doing all the things that needed to be done and becoming self-sufficient versus where we are today. And the lack of representation in government in certain areas, the lack of community harmony, the lack of self-sufficiency. Even, you know, we're harping on, you know, the Panthers, but the truth of the matter is one of the reasons, the main reason for them being on the COINTELPRO list wasn't because of what you want to be perceived as the militancy. Excuse me. The original Panthers were on the COINTELPRO list because of their efforts in the community, the free medical clinics that they opened up to help black people identify sickle cell anemia, the free meal programs that they had, the clothing programs, the help with people getting in housing. Those were the identifiers that put them on the list. we don't hear about that because all we want to know is the demonizing parts of a group or an organization to justify why we should not trust them, why we should hate them. And now the saddest part that I see now, is that people are jumping on the bandwagon and calling themselves taking up the mantle or claiming to take up the mantle and have no real purpose within our community. So I've been on my rant, Will. I'm gonna give it back to you for real quick, and then we can start trying to wrap it up. We got about 20 minutes left, brother.
I didn't know Fannie Lou Hamer was from Mississippi. One of my favorite quotes by her, and it's not even a singular quote. It's from she was talking, and she said, "The flag is drenched with our blood," right? Playing the victim when we've been the victim. And I hate to go back on the Breonna Taylor thing, right? But there was a video I seen it on social media from a conservative page because, you know, I run a gun club, so I'm on that Instagram page for my gun club. And when you talk about guns, it becomes conservative. So they showed a video, and it said, oh, BLM protesters attack first responders, right? Now, Breonna Taylor was an EMT, so she was a first responder. So when you get into this BLM attacks a first responder, here's a first responder that was murdered. Let me calm down. But I saw a comment that said, oh, imagine being upset by a drug dealer being killed when her boyfriend shot at the police. And please forgive my language, but that motherfucking shit is dumb as fuck. And here's why I say that. She was an EMT. She was an EMT. You can't just become an EMT. You can't just walk in off the street and become an EMT. You have to pass a background check. So that means her background was good enough for her to become an EMT. So, and if she was a drug dealer, why'd the cops have to ask her ex-boyfriend to lie and say she was in a game? Why did they have to ask him to do that if she was a drug dealer? That, to me, that makes no sense. So, but I'll get off of that. I'll get off of that right now. But back to Fannie Lou Hamer. You know, when she said the flag is drenched with our blood, people don't understand that the weight of what she was saying. You know, people tend to look at black people as victims, right? Oh, they're just victims. They're always complaining. I had a friend one time. He's an ex-friend. But I made a post on Facebook, and he was like, oh, black people are always complaining. Black people need to get over slavery. The Greeks were slaves, and you don't hear them complaining.
Uh-oh. Did I lose him? Just in case. So.
I can hear you. I can hear you.
Okay. I'm here, man. Excuse me. But, yeah. Go ahead. I'll let you finish that. Oh,
man.
Go ahead.
But, no. But, yeah. So, it's not black people playing the victim. It's really black people seeing the same movie over and over again. When something happens to us, they're quick to, what was he doing? What was his past like? Like, did he do this? Oh, he spit a piece of gum on the street when he was 7. So, yeah, he's a bad individual. But when it happens to other folks, they don't look at that. They don't look at their background. They don't look at their criminal history. It's, oh, my God, how could this happen? BLM did this to this person. Or, oh, look, this black guy did this to this white person. Or, you know, it's when something happens to us, we're always vilified. if we get in the topic of the Panthers, right? Like you said, the Panthers, people don't realize the Panthers had the breakfast program, the, like you said, the free clinics for sickle cell, the clothes, the food pantry, the newspaper, all of that stuff. But yet people hate the Panthers. Like, I was talking with a buddy of mine, and he said that he ran into a guy. It was on the comment section. And the guy said, and I don't even know why. Yeah, why is that? And we have to look at who was the head of all of this. J. Edgar Hoover. I'm not going to say what I want to say about J. Edgar Hoover, but J. Edgar Hoover is famous for saying they won't have a black messiah unless I give them one. Like, and you can look it up. You can look at the COINTELPRO document, and it'll say they wanted to prevent the rise of a black messiah. It's in the freaking documents that you can look up. We're not just saying this crap, this stuff. We're not just saying it. It's not a feel good story for us. We just want to burn everything down. No, that's not true at all. And don't even get me started on people who say riots and violence are never the answer. When white people have a notorious history of protesting and rioting just because they couldn't lynch black folks. Like, there's a story where they wanted to lynch this black man. They wanted to take him out of jail and lynch him, but they weren't allowed to. So the white folks got 1,000 other white people and burnt down the freaking town. So it baffles me when people say violence and rioting are never the answer. Like, do you not know the history? Do you not know the history of America? The Boston Tea Party wasn't a freaking peaceful thing. The Boston Tea Party was a freaking riot. The American Revolution was a riot. This country's very freedom was won through violence. So, but they're called revolutionaries. They're called patriots. Because why? They wanted to be free from oppression while at the same time oppressing others. That baffles me. When people talk about violence is not the answer. Violence is American. At its core, America is violence. When we want something done, we use violence. Oh, the war on drugs, violence. The war on terror, violence. We got this country got so mad, and please don't misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm a New Yorker through and through. 9/11 affected me deeply, but this country was so angry they went and bombed another country. So, you know, when you talk about violence, it just violence is American. And I'm not advocating violence. Let me say that. I'm not advocating violence. I'm making a point. Because I have to be mindful of what I say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm done now. I'm I gotta let you talk, Eric. We only got like 7 minutes left, I think.
We got about 10 minutes. That's okay. But my thing is, you know, I hear that. And I hear what you're saying. You know, the argument of being violent individuals or being a violent culture, being a part of a group of people, because let's not forget, you know, we can even throw in the rhetoric that's been thrown around that I've had personal conversations with. And you hear this idea of, what about black-on-black violence? You know, y'all talk about the police, and y'all need to follow the police, but what about black-on-black violence? Because black-on-black violence is what you know, is a problem, too, and it happens within – you idiot. And I had to break that down to somebody. You idiot. First and foremost, we deal with the issue of the proximity principle. Black crimes happen within black community because those are typically the people, just like white crimes. We don't hear about white-on-white crime. And statistically, by, according to the U.S. government. Let me say it. You can look it up in the FBI database. Do your research. And I have to emphasize and articulate these words in this fashion so that we understand. Look it up. White people commit more crimes than black people against each other. Yet we never hear about white-on-white crime. You never hear about white-on-white crime. You just don't. Why is that? Because the media uses, we're caught up in a system that allows the media to influence us. Then you hear about these people who use it, and then you have, and yeah, I take a glance in the chat room and I see the name Candace Owens flashing up. And my thing is, you honestly have people who sit down and don't follow conversation. Like I said, it's easy to be ignorant. It's so easy to be ignorant. It takes a lot of effort to take the time to read. Take the time to research. And my thing is, again, this very platform is based on the internet. You have the opportunity to research this bit of information yourself. And don't just look for the information that supports your theory. Look for the pro and con. Do your research and dig a little further. That's the whole element. Even in the elements of debate, you have a side picking one specific area, and then you have another side picking an area, and they argue the points to determine which point is relevant. And they both sides may have relevant points. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
So you know I'm about to go off, right? So this term,
go ahead.
Black on black crime. What about black on black crime? What about black on black crime? It's simply crime. Why is it that you don't hear about white on white crime? They don't use a color, a color classification when it comes to white on white crime. The only color classification they use is when it comes to black people, black on black crime. You don't hear Chinese on Chinese crime, Hispanic on Hispanic, Greek on Greek. You don't hear those classifications because it's a moot point. And it's simply crime. It's literally crime. If me and 1,000 other black folks live in a community, who am I more likely to be victimized by? A black person.
So when you talk about
black on black crime, to me that's ignorant. That's the talking point when people don't have any other points, because it's literally crime. It's literally crime.
Mm-hmm.
But they use that term. The term black on black crime was simply created to make us look like the bad guys. So if something happens to us, people will say, oh, yeah, it's black on black crime. Those black people are at it again. To me, that's dumb and ignorant. Because if someone could give me a clear-cut definition of black-on-black crime, I'll shut up. But you can't, because there is no clear-cut definition, because it's simply crime. It's proximity, like you said. Now, if I live around 1,000 white folks, who am I more likely to be victimized by? So, you know what I mean? But here's my thing. When people start throwing out statistics like, oh, black folks are this, and the third, this percentage of black folks attack this percentage, blah, 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 blah. Okay. So who are white people more likely to be victimized then, if we're going off statistics? Other white folks. Oops. Don't let me make a point, though.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, you can't argue with ignorance, because ignorance is something, especially when it's unfounded, and people are willing to do this. And like I said, if you're not willing to get on and voice your opinion, the floor was open to you. You can say whatever you want to say. I really don't care. If you're not willing to do proper research, like I said, I've had debates about that black on black crime where I've presented the research from the FBI database. And you can argue, well, you know, the minority population and blah, 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 blah. But the facts still are relevant. The majority population, white people, still commit the majority of crime against white people, yet we don't hear about white-on-white crime. In fact, the media is so rigged that you can have a black criminal will get a big picture, darkened face, and a litany of his priors will be written out versus this small picture of somebody, you know, of a white person who commits a heinous crime. And he's labeled as misunderstood and so on and so forth. So I don't care. Yeah, I don't care. Yeah. My thing is this, and I see the comments that are being made. My thing is, this is not your platform. My advice to you is what you should do is go ahead and get your own platform, and you can put out misnomers and incorrect fact all you want to, but this is not your space. And go ahead.
There was a story of a white man who killed his whole family, his wife and his two daughters. They used the picture of the family smiling, all smiles. They used a family photo of them to describe this incident. Father kills family, and they use a picture of him smiling. But then the black man who attacked a dude who was in his daughter's bedroom, they used his mugshot. And I'm like, come on, bro. So this guy was actually a hero for defending his daughter, and this guy who killed his family gets a smiling family portrait. But I'm going to be done.
Yeah. Okay. And since we're going to be done, let's be done with it all. Because, again, like I said, I'm going to be officially done explaining black plight to other people who don't care to really understand, who just have this whole agenda. So I refuse to be distracted from what needs to be done. So we've got about 2 minutes left. So with that, I'm going to start wrapping it up and letting people know and just saying, in memory of these individuals where justice did not serve them, it is up to us, the community, to be more aware. And when we talk about this, we also talk about being trained in firearms, trained in being situationally aware of what's going on in community, situationally aware of what's going on around you. Don't let incidents happen and let fools try to demonize who you are. Your work will stand up for itself and do what it needs to be done. Well, I'm going to let you got about 30, 45 seconds. You want to say what you got? Close it out.
Yeah, so if anybody is looking for a black gun club in Dallas, you can check out my chapter of the National African American Gun Association. My chapter is the Henry Johnson Gun Club. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram via those names, Henry Johnson Gun Club, all lowercase. You can reach us by email, henryjohnsongunclub@gmail.com. So.
Yes, and you can also find me, Team Effort Consulting. You can find us on Facebook. You can also find this page, Common Sense Conversations, on Facebook. Again, Common Sense Conversations. You can also find us on Twitter at Ain't So Common. And with that being said, thank you all for participating tonight. And like the new saying says, if you're looking to be a gunslinger, get trained. Have a good night.